Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to avoid suffering. We continue to hear about the injuries and deaths taking place in Iraq. Also, I heard the other night on the news that even though we're trying to put the whole Katrina tragedy behind us, there are many, many people who are still cleaning up after that tragedy. And then, of course, we have heard recently about the floods up in the northeastern part of our nation and how some people have been devastated by those. And then we have our own members here at Concordia. Some are facing illness. Others are grieving the death of loved ones. When things like this happen, it is not uncommon for us to ask ourselves the following question. We say, if God loves us, then why does He allow such terrible suffering in our lives? Why do we ask such questions? We ask them because even though we know God is love, His love doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense to me. For example, I'm a father. I have two daughters and one son, and I love them dearly. And I would use whatever strength I have to protect them from death and harm if I could do it. Of course, sometimes as a parent, it's beyond your strength to help your children depending on where they are or what they're doing. But the fact is, what parent wouldn't use what strength they do have to protect their children if they could? If I saw a car going down the street and my daughter unaware that it was coming, I would run out there and rush to her side and rescue her if I could. That's how I would love my children as a father. But in contrast, God is all-powerful, and yet He chooses not to intervene in many circumstances that do result in our suffering and death. Now, such thinking has led some people to call into question either the love of God or whether He is actually God at all. And neither option gives us any comfort. For example, if God is not love, then we have no hope. I mean, there's nothing more terrifying than the thought of an all-powerful God who hates us and wants to hurt us. No wonder some people choose to be atheists. On the other hand, though, if God is not all-powerful, then He's really not God at all, is He? Think about it. A God who is not in control of all things at all times, that kind of a being might be a little stronger than us, but He's not God. Such a being would only be a victim of circumstances beyond His control. And along with us, such a being of limited power is helpless in the face of the impersonal forces of a cold, cruel universe. Well, that takes us back to what Scripture teaches us. The Bible clearly teaches that God is love and He is all-powerful. But then we have the mystery. The all-powerful God of love allows us to suffer. Why? Why does the all-powerful God of love allow us to suffer? That's a good question, especially as we consider our epistle reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. In this reading, God Himself talks about suffering. He even says that it's something we should expect. Peter writes, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in His steps." Now obviously when Peter was writing this, he was not trying to appeal to their felt needs. He wasn't writing what people wanted to hear. Instead, he was simply stating the fact that as Christians, we can expect to suffer. why does a God of love say such things to us if we are His children? Well, my friends, God is going to answer our questions this evening. But He's not going to tell us what we want to hear. Instead, He's going to tell us what we need to hear. And as we examine God's Word together, His Holy Spirit will open our eyes and comfort us with His truth. In fact, we're going to learn about our epistle reading by considering three reasons that we suffer in this life. And we're going to learn how God gives us comfort and hope in each of those three situations. Now, the first reason that we experience suffering in this life is that we are people who live in a broken world. We live in a world where bad things happen. We get diagnosed with cancer. A drunk driver broadsides us. A tornado or an earthquake or a blizzard comes, and people lose their homes or even die. There's a lot of bad things that happen to us in this world that are simply beyond our control. They're not happening because of some particular sin we've done. They just happen. They happen as we're going about our lives, even when we're trying to do good. Sometimes bad things happen because we live in a broken world. Of course, that leads to a question. Why is this creation made by a good and all-loving God, why is it broken? Why do these bad things happen? Well, now we need to get the big picture. We need to go back to the beginning. If you recall, when God made the world, His final touch on a perfect creation was Adam and Eve. And the plan was that Adam and Eve, as well as their descendants, were to live forever in a perfect world without pain or death. But sadly, suffering entered the world when Adam and Eve turned their backs on their loving God. And we also learned that we have inherited Adam's sinful nature. That means our rebellion against God continues this broken world. We need to realize, my friends, that God did not create this world with suffering in mind. The way things go on today, that wasn't His will. But He does allow these things to happen to remind us that we live in a world that has been broken by our sin. All the things that happen in the world that are out of our control reminds us that all this is taking place because we are not right with God. Nevertheless, even though we should expect nothing but suffering in this world, the amazing thing is that we still experience much joy and pleasure. Think about it. Even though bad things do happen in this world, we get many more days of pleasure and joy than we do of suffering and pain. That's why we should never ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? You see, that's the wrong question. Instead, we should ask this question. Why do good things happen to bad people? You see, Scripture teaches that we're all equally guilty before God. If God would give us what we deserve, we would have nothing but suffering, pain, and death in this life. And yet, He gives us many blessings and countless moments of pleasure, even though we don't deserve it. Why does God do this? Because God wants us to know that in spite of our sin, He longs to be merciful to us. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. He says, "The creation was subjected to frustration, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And not only the creation, but we ourselves wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies." Did you hear that? As hard as it may be for us to understand, God allows this creation to have suffering and tragedy to remind us that this world is not our home. Instead, as we suffer, we remember that we look forward to the hope that one day God will set things right. And we will be redeemed, not only spiritually, but also physically. And so when we experience the suffering that results from living in a broken world, God is thereby teaching us that we are sinners who need a Savior. And when we experience all those daily blessings and pleasures I talked about, that's a reminder that we have a God who longs to be merciful to us even though we don't deserve it. Therefore, every little pleasure you experience in life is a reminder that you have a God who longs to be merciful to sinners. For example, listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. In other words, the ultimate sign that God wants to be merciful to you is that He was willing to put His own Son on the cross in your place of damnation, that you might be forgiven and live forever as His child. And we will live forever in a perfect world one day. Listen to this short verse from 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, according to God's promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. Because of Jesus, you have the hope that you will live forever in a new world without suffering, pain, or death. In fact, you have been raised with Christ in baptism, and therefore you live in the hope of the resurrection of your own body. That's why Paul goes on to write these words in Romans 8. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Now we're ready to learn about the second reason that we suffer in this life. We've just learned that sometimes we suffer because we live in a broken world. Sometimes we suffer just because things happen that are out of our control. But there are other times that we suffer as the direct result of particular sins that we do. Listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. In other words, it's one thing to suffer simply because you're in a situation that's outside of your control. But it's another thing to suffer because of something you've done to deserve it. We can all relate to that. We can all examine our lives and think of times we've said or done sinful things that resulted in suffering, suffering for others and suffering for ourselves. For example, if a person drinks and drives, he may not only take the life of another person, but he may end up in prison himself. If a husband or a father is lazy and dishonest, he may lose his job and thereby deprive his wife and children of needed blessings. If you lie or cheat, you might find that people will no longer want to trust you. And if you work too hard, or if you choose to misuse food or alcohol or drugs, your body is going to suffer the consequences. You know, it's hard enough facing the general suffering that comes from living in a broken world, but it's even more difficult when we suffer because of particular sins that we've done. Because not only do we and others suffer physically because of our sinful choices, on top of that, there is the guilt that is impossible for us to bear. But my friends, you have hope. You have hope when you suffer because of your sinful choices. You see, even though your guilt is more than you can bear, the good news is that Christ has borne your guilt for you. I want you to listen to these words of comfort from our epistle reading. Peter says, Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. In other words, your sins are forgiven. You do not have to bear the guilt of certain particular sins in your life that might haunt you. And even though God might allow us to suffer the consequences of our sinful choices, He only does this so that we might repent and rejoice in the fact that through Jesus we are completely forgiven and holy before God. In fact, Christ's mercy for you means that others can forgive you when you've wronged them. And Christ's mercy also means that you can forgive yourself when you are haunted by the things you've done. My friends, you can start anew in Christ and live your life for the God who loves you. Finally, the third reason that we suffer is simply because we are trying to live our lives for the Lord. That's right, sometimes we suffer because we're trying to do what is right. The Bible teaches that those who follow Jesus in this world will be persecuted by those who hate Him. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5? He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is reminding us that those who hate Him will also hate us if we try to follow Jesus in this life. But if we are persecuted simply because we're living for Jesus, then we are blessed because we know that through Jesus we are forgiven and have the certain hope of eternal life, and nothing, not even death, can take that away. That's why Peter says what he does in 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen to these words. "Rejoice when you suffer for Christ, because you also will rejoice and be glad when He appears in glory. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." So sometimes God allows us to suffer precisely because we are trying to live as His children. And even though we may shed many tears when we suffer persecution, I think of the Christians in various Muslim countries who are often kicked out of their homes and whose children are taken away into slavery, and sometimes are even killed simply because they trust Jesus. Imagine the tears flowing down their faces. And yet, they have the promise from God that they are blessed. In fact, did you know that one of the reasons God allows us to suffer is so that we might have an opportunity to witness to the unbelievers who are persecuting us? Imagine if we repay their hatred with love and mercy. What will that do to them? It'll make them think twice about who we are and why we have hope. They might even ask us, "How can you possibly forgive me and love me when I'm persecuting you?" And then we don't point them to ourselves, because we're sinners just like them. Instead, we point them to Jesus, who died for everyone while we were nothing but His enemies. In fact, if you study the history of the Christian church, many unbelievers were converted when they saw the Christians they were persecuting, loving them and praying for them and forgiving them. That melted their hearts and brought them to faith in Christ as well. My friends, what a powerful witness it is for unbelievers who are persecuting us when we show them that even though they are persecuting God's children, they still have a God who wants to forgive them and make them His children too. We can show them that they too can be forgiven and receive God's mercy along with us. Therefore, we must remember these words of God from 1 Peter chapter 4. If ever we're persecuted for our faith, we need to remember these words. "Those who suffer according to God's will should entrust themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do what is good." Well, tonight I've shared with you the three reasons that we suffer. First, we suffer simply because we live in a world broken by sin, and lots of times there are things that happen to us that are beyond our control, and yet God allows them to happen for a reason. The second reason we suffer is that sometimes we make sinful choices and we suffer the consequences. But even then, God uses those consequences to bring us to repentance and remind us that through Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven. And finally, we learn that sometimes God will allow us to suffer simply because we are living as His children. That too will strengthen our faith and give us an opportunity to witness to those who do not know Jesus yet. In closing, let me say that even though I've given you these three reasons why we suffer, that doesn't necessarily make it easier for us to understand why God allows it. Why does God do things this way? I don't know. I'm not God. I'm simply here to tell you what He reveals to us in His Word. What we do know, though, is that God is love, and one day He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But until then, while we live in a world where the tears may often flow, we know that God loves us, and that we have a hope that can never be taken away. And the proof of that is that Jesus has died for our sins and has conquered death and will come one day to bring us into the new creation where we will live forever without sin, pain, or death. I'd like to leave you with these words, the final stanza of our opening hymn. Why don't you turn to that in your hymnal, hymn 347. Hymn 347, I'm going to read for you stanza 4. If you'd follow along as I read these words for you. O all-embracing mercy, O ever-open door, what should we do without you when heart and eye run o'er? When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer. Amen. Now may the peace